Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support for this Thursday, October 30th, 2025. The show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Anna Mitchell, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood Kearney. Anna, always good to see you. How are you doing?
Let me get this right here. Sorry about that.
There we go.
Appreciate the time, and as always, appreciate the topics you bring in. You always bring in interesting stuff. We learn every time you're with us, and man, we got a fun one today.
Oh, we do, yeah.
We're going to dive into spooktacular facts about nature.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, as Halloween gets closer, why don't we dive into some spooky nature facts? They're not really spooky, but nature sometimes has its own spine-tingling stories, you know, from silent winged hunters gliding through moonlit skies, right? I'm trying to set the scene here.
Doing a good job.
To fungi that ooze and glow in the dark. Our wild places in Wisconsin are full of eerie wonders. So today we're going to dive into some the spooky side of nature, where myths meet ecology and the creatures of the night aren't just figments of folklore.
First off, very well written, very well worded. Creative bone in me is excited. Is just so proud and excited. You know, a fun thing about this too, Anna, I think, is some of these animals that we're going to talk about oftentimes kind of get, they're typecast.
Yes.
They're kind of, well, this animal is scary. I don't want to learn about that or something.
Yep.
Maybe it takes a little of the fear away from some of these animals the more you know about them.
Yep, I agree. And that's a perfect segue into some of our spooky wildlife, right? The first creature we're going to talk about are bats. So some of our most fascinating creatures in wildlife, they roam the wilderness at night. And I think that's where they get that eerie vibe to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We refer to these animals as nocturnal, meaning that they developed adaptations to living in the dark, which makes them really good experts in stealth, hunting, and survival, right? These are the animals that kind of get that bad rap of they're creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the first of these creatures I'm going to talk about are bats. They're a great example of a nocturnal animal. They often get a bad rap, but they're fascinating animals with adaptations that make them exceptional nighttime navigators.
Any animal we talk about is certainly integral to the food chain, but so many of our nocturnal animals are a gigantic part of it.
Yes.
Bats, maybe the biggest of all of them.
They are. Yep. So bats, there are over 1,400 species of bats worldwide. We have 8 of those species in Wisconsin. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but bats are actually mammals, meaning that they give birth to live young. And they are the only mammal that can achieve true flight. So some might argue and say we have flying squirrels. Actually, flying squirrels do not achieve true flight.
Mm-hmm.
They glide. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So bats are really cool in that they're the only mammal to achieve true flight. Many bat species are insectivorous, meaning that they only eat insects, but several species eat nectar or fruit, and they're great pollinator species. They go very overlooked as a beneficial pollinator species.
Yeah.
And then there are actually 3 species that drink blood, and rarely from humans, right? So I think a lot of people, Halloween, bats, they drink blood. No, there are only 3 species out of 1,400 that do that, and very rarely is it humans.
Mm-hmm. They're one of the more misunderstood animals in the animal kingdom, and they're so integral to so many things. I do think, or I should ask, do you think we've gotten a little bit better about that, our image of bats, when we've the popularity of talking about bees with pollinating, and it feels like that's led into people understanding that bats are big pollinators too, and it's come, it's certainly there, that image of them, but it's gotten a little bit better, do you think?
I think so. I still think they're kind of an underrepresented group for pollinators, but then there's also other really beneficial qualities that bats bring in. So a single bat can eat thousands of insects every night, which make them a very valuable natural pest control. So if you have bats around your house and you see them flying around at night, they're helping decrease your bug population, like mosquitoes and all the pests that we think about, right? They're really good to actually invite onto your property. You could build a bat house. Really great to have locally. So insect eating bats actually use echolocation to locate and capture their prey, which means that they emit an ultrasonic click and buzzes above the range that we can hear, that humans can hear. And so those ultrasonic clicks and buzzes bounce off potential prey and then back to the bat's sensitive ears. So they have really poor eyesight, right? But phenomenal hearing. And that's how they locate their prey and the bugs. It's they're incredible animals.
I cannot think of the animal, but there is a nocturnal animal that also hunts with sound.
Yeah.
And it has an extra long finger that it can tap on wood to be able to do it specifically for. Oh, God, geez. I wish I could think of it. But it's because I was reading about bats and the way they hunt that I came across this animal.
Yeah.
It's one of the more interesting things to me in the animal kingdom is those that hunt with sound.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It is so cool.
Bats are at the top of that list. Yeah. They're really amazing. And without bats, we wouldn't have Batman. I mean, come on. They're important. They're important.
Fair.
You got another one that you wanted to talk about, too.
Yeah. So owls, they're another example of a nocturnal species, and they are like the quintessential nighttime predator. And a lot of the times, bats are associated with like the kind of like eerie sense, you know, when you're watching a scary movie or and you hear like an owl hoot in the background. It's like... Yeah, they make a lot of weird noises, but they're a very, very cool animal. So Wisconsin is home to 11 species of owls, including the great horned owl and the barred owl. We have the migratory snowy owl. Those are very beautiful.
Yes,
super
very
cool.
Very.
And we have some rare species like the boreal and the northern hawk owl. We have a lot of forested areas, and Wisconsin is home to some very cool species of owls.
Yeah, I think the animal we probably talk the least about as far as population-wise in this state, we really don't talk a lot about owls, and there's a lot of them in this state.
There are, yeah. So I'm going to go on a little side tangent here, but I have participated in a citizen science project called the Frog and Toad Survey, where you go out at night in like wetland areas and you listen for different frog species.
That sounds awesome.
And if you want to like hear some of the most cool and unique owl noises, if you're in central Wisconsin, you can go to the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. You know, right after sunset and when it gets dark, you can hear some of the most unique owl sounds, and it is so cool. And I, to be fair, like some of them are very eerie, you know, but it's cool.
Still cool, yeah.
Yes, yep, for sure.
I got to do that. That's awesome. Thank you for telling us about
that. Yeah, of course, yep. So owls actually have unique feathers that make them actually almost impossible to hear when they're in flight. Yeah, so if you've ever been out in the woods and you've seen an owl take off, like they, you cannot hear them.
That's wild.
It is. And I mean, the sounds that they make when they fly cannot even be detected by mice ears.
That's amazing. Yeah, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
They're phenomenal predators, especially at night, you know?
You got no chances of mice. No. You got no chance.
right. Owls also have asymmetrical ears that are shaped like satellite dishes, which makes them experts at being able to locate the exact spots of where sound is coming from when they attack their prey. Another cool adaptation is their ears.
Just the evolution of these animals and the way that they are able to do, you know, adapt is always interesting too. And owls are just amazing creatures.
Yeah, and I will say the Cornell Lab of Ornithology has the Merlin Bird app. So if you do make your way out to the Nisida Wildlife Refuge, I'd highly suggest downloading the Merlin Bird app. It's free. You just click play and it constantly records noise in the background, and then as soon as it hears any kind of bird, it will pop up what kind of bird that is and information about them. It's like one of the coolest apps.
There are some good ones out there. That's the go-to one to me. That's the one my mom might be my mom's favorite app. It might be. It's a really good one, and it really helps in these situations.
Yeah.
There are some other creatures that venture out in the daytime that we're going to talk about.
Yes, there are. So we don't really have them up here, but in the southern parts of the U.S., there are alligator snapping turtles. These creatures have a unique adaptation where they will actually use their tongue to lure in prey. There's like a thin worm-like piece on their tongue that they will use to, like, you know, get their prey to come in, and that's how they catch their prey. So
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, yep. So just a cool, unique adaptation that's sometimes creepy if you think about the swamps at night, right?
Sure, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. And then losing a limb, slicing off a toe, and misplacing parts of a brain is no problem for some animals. In fact, some amphibians, like the eastern newt, can actually regenerate missing limbs, heart, spinal cords, and even portions of their brains.
The most sci-fi thing about nature, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe thing. It may be the most, Halloween thing about nature. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And there are some other stats that you had for us about some other creepy crawlies and
Yep. So creepy crawlies and decomposers are the next kind of eerie nature facts we'll talk about. So spiders might seem spooky to some people, especially my husband. I'm sorry, honey. spiders can be creepy, especially when you're walking through a web in the dark, but they're some of the most fascinating and helpful critters in our ecosystems, and they get the short end of the stick a lot of times, which is unfortunate. Yeah. So spiders are nature's, some of nature's best pest control agents. They eat common household pests like mosquitoes and flies. And research has suggested that spiders consume an estimated 400 to 800 million tons of insects annually worldwide.
Makes them a little bit higher on the popularity list all of a sudden. Yeah.
Right. And to put that into perspective, a single spider can eat about 2,000 insects a year.
That's amazing.
Yep. So maybe think before you squash that next spider, right? Maybe just move them outside.
Move them outside.
Yep. And Wisconsin is home to some of the best pest control agents, which are our orb weaver spiders, like the black and yellow garden spider, a marbled orb weaver, and a cross orb weaver. These species are known for their colorful appearances, and they have large, intricate webs that are really cool. And they're really great at being able to catch those insects, right?
And it's a really good note about them, about not maybe squashing them the second you see them, because chances are if you see a spider, they're already taking care of a population of things that you really don't want around. So
hey, and they're like low maintenance roommates. They really take care of your pests, you know.
Well, it's something that I was going to say about bats earlier, too, especially with some of the kind of like stereotype that can go towards these things and stuff. I've actually had two interactions with a bat in a home and trying to get it out. Mm-hmm. And that animal couldn't have been more scared.
No.
And did not have any interest in getting in my hair. And I had my big hair back then. And none of those things. I had on a pair of gloves. I got it surrounded. I got it outside. It took a couple of minutes. Yeah. And it flew off. Both incidences were pretty... fine. It was pretty low key and everything, but it was the animal I felt so bad for because it was afraid. I imagine that an insect isn't going to be much different. It doesn't have any interest in you, really. It just wants to do its thing.
Yeah. You know? The only insects that have an interest in you are like the pests, right? The mosquitoes, which are the ones that like the bats and the spiders take care of. So,
Yeah, it's something to keep in mind with this.
Yeah.
I want to dig a little deeper into some of this, though, with you. Not just insects and animals, but there's more about this time of year that is also beneficial.
Yep. So we have, underneath the fallen leaves and rotting logs, a lot of nature has its own team of recyclers that are working the graveyard shift. And these are what we call decomposers. So decomposers are fungi, bacteria, and invertebrates that break down the dead. Like any dead material on the forest floor, they're really great. And what they break down actually gives new life inside of our ecosystem. So decomposers are like one of the probably best contributors to our ecosystems. So they're very vital to our forest ecosystems, especially here in Wisconsin, because in Wisconsin, we actually have no native earthworms. And they have not existed in our soil since the last glacier moved through the state.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Just simply amazing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why even, but it is. Well, it's just a fascinating stat. I've heard this since I was a kid and I first started fishing.
Yeah.
I remember the old guy telling me when I was getting the worms and stuff, hey, these are imported or something like that. And my pop and him talking about it.
Yeah. And, we think of composting, right? You're utilizing decomposition, right? To boost your soil microbial activity. Anyways. But a lot of times when we think of decomposing, we think of earthworms, right? But in Wisconsin, we have no native earthworms, which is really cool to think about.
Also makes these decomposers all the more important.
Yeah. And I think one of our state's coolest decomposers are called slime molds. They are a member of a shape-shifting group of organisms called the myxomycetes. And slime molds often resemble fungi, but they're more closely related to amoebas and certain seaweeds. So they're they're living organisms, right? But not in the sense of like an animal. They're more like an amoeba. But they're super cool decomposer. And some of the most common slime molds in Wisconsin can be found in like moist, shady places, like crevices and rotting logs and leaf litter and in bark mulch. And that's where they feed on bacteria, fungal spores, and decaying plant material.
I learned this one today. I did not know about this. I got to look into that.
You should look up pictures of slime molds. They're really interesting.
And so, you know, also, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, helping with some of the information to this, maybe a little of the fear comes away with it. Yeah. And some I didn't think about it at the time, but a real appreciation also comes in with all of these creatures as well. Yeah. And stuff that we didn't even know about and everything, because all of these are vitally important to that food chain. Us living our lives.
Yes, very, very important.
And certainly when it comes into the economic impact in this state, in the ag industry. And so much of these animals helping that out and everything.
Yeah.
We really, it's another reminder to us of how we share this planet. You know, isn't just ours. We share it with Mother Nature and all these great creatures.
Yep. And that's why I thought, you know, it'd be fun to talk about some of those spooky facts because it's right on theme for Halloween, but also to bring awareness to them too, because like we have been saying, they get a bad rap, but they're so important, right? Just positive interaction and can benefit these species.
You would know if they weren't there.
Right.
You know? Yes. We would know in a very major way we would know. One last thing that we were going to get into, I was really looking forward to this, eerie ecosystems.
So some of nature's eeriest landscapes are known as ghost forests, and I actually did not know that they had a term for this until I was doing some research yesterday. But ghost forests are places where trees stand lifeless, gray, and skeletals. And so they aren't just spooky, right? They're signs of environmental change. So in Wisconsin, our ghost forests can be in the form of a wetland or floodplain where rising levels of water and maybe some potential disease has killed tree species, right? So if you think about like a wetland or a marshy area where you see those trees that are dead but are still standing, that's what we would refer to as a ghost forest. And so ghost forests are actually part of a natural cycle where they can also be warning signs of ecological imbalance. So in fact, they can be actually indicators of climate change, especially in our coastal areas. But inland, they're kind of, those versions exist too, but they're more likely tied to hydrological changes and land use changes. Mm-hmm. So, and it's ghost forests. A lot of our aquatic species and a lot of our wildlife species have evolved to use these ghost forests as really critical habitat for like birds and amphibians and fish and insects. So while they might be signs of changing environmental factors, they've also become really important habitat areas.
Nothing adapts like nature.
Right.
It's amazing to see. It's also something to keep in mind so we don't make nature adapt too much.
Right.
You know, we got to work with nature, not at it. And so much of the conversation today, I think, has helped us make a step in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, not only with the information, but I think just some of the cool things to look at. I cannot wait to dive down that slime mold rabbit path.
You should. It's really cool. Any decomposers are super cool. They're unique and they're very cool.
Encourage you to learn more about all of these great creatures and things. And of course, always reach out to our friends at Extension if you have questions or anything. How can they do that, Anna?
Yeah, you can stop by the Wood County Extension office or you can shoot me an email at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
And this was just a look behind the curtain for everybody. Anna wasn't scheduled today. This was a bit of a last minute thing, and yet you killed it. You nailed
it.
Nice
work. Thank you so much.
That was a lot of fun. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Say hi to the team over at Extension for us, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks so much, James.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.